name is Inigo Montoya.
Hello, Marion.
Indiana Jones.
Hello. Use the force, Luke.
What you talking about, Luke?
Marsha.
What's up now?
Spider friends, go for it!
Transform and roll out.
And I'll form the head.
That's what she said.
Hey, this is Jonathan.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
All right. And welcome to the Nerd and Me podcast. Jonathan, what are we talking about today?
Alan, today we're going to continue our discussion with Infinity War. Now, Infinity Month is officially over. It is May. Happy May, everybody. But this movie was so big. It was 10 years in the making. We had more to say about it. And the fans clamored for it. All one of them requested we do it again. We do another show on it. So yes. You ask, we deliver.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie since the last podcast?
Well, as you know, last week I was on a nice streak. I saw it in three. It was out 3 days. I had seen it three times. In the past 7 days, unfortunately, life got in the middle of my viewing habits, and I was only able to see it one more time. Yes, I'm very sad. I let you down.
All right. Let's see. I caught it with my daughter. When was it? Yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. No. It was Friday. We saw it again Friday.
All right. So you saw it again. And Now, since I'm on viewing number 4 and you are viewing number 2.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, did you notice anything? Did anything stand out to you? Or after our tour discussion, were you looking for certain things on your second viewing? Because my fourth viewing was IMAX, and there were quite a few things I saw because, you know, bigger screen and stuff like that.
Sure.
But you go first.
Yeah, there are actually a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. One, especially, you actually brought up in the last podcast about the distress call in the very beginning of the movie. Now, the reason why I actually missed it, if you heard the last podcast, is because the people behind me were pretty loud, and I actually was getting angry. So I actually missed that little bit, and that's why this particular time I was like, all right, what was that distress call that I missed? And yeah, sure enough, you actually do hear it. And then it makes a whole lot of sense to me, you know.
I mean, not a whole lot of sense.
I mean, you have an idea that a distress call did go out, and that's the reason why the Guardians were there, you know. But I didn't actually catch it the first time because I was a little bothered. Second viewing, though, again.
Now, wait a second.
What?
There's a little trivia to the distress call. Do you know who that voice is?
No.
It is Kenneth Branagh, the director of Thor, the first Thor movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, this is a little cameo. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, how cute. my second viewing.
You were very unimpressed by that fact, huh?
Yeah, it would be cool. Oh, yeah. That was not impressed.
Should have been Matt Davis.
Second viewing, I had a bunch of whiny kids behind me once again, and I didn't say shut up. No, I said shh, and they shushed, and then they kept talking. I was like, "Are you gotta be kidding me?" And so Angelica goes, "Hey," I was like, "Oh, that's my girl."
A bunch of bullies, do you?
They don't mess with us. But yeah, there are a couple of things, mostly detail stuff that I didn't catch the first time around. And it is nice for a second viewing just to, you know, take it in as a story, you know, now that you know what's going on, what's going to happen. More visual cues I think I picked up on. Now, you saw it 4 times. Was there anything new the 4th time around?
Right. Well, as I said earlier, I saw it in IMAX the 4th time. And, you know, it's a bigger screen. I don't usually go to IMAX movies, so I was like, oh, okay, we'll see what this is about.
Oh, one more thing. Sorry. I did see it on regular, you know, the regular whatever.
Right, because you saw it in 3D the first time. Right?
I did see it in 3D. And I tell you, and that was my gripe with 3D, is that you do miss, like, visual details. You know, like, one that really stood out to me was Doctor Strange's hands. You know, like, you could actually see the surgical scars on his fingers from his movie. I was like, wow, that's a really nice detail.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
Well, yeah, because I think in his movie, he's wearing gloves.
He's not wearing gloves in this one?
No. At one point, he's not wearing gloves. What was he doing? I don't know. He was doing his little hand mystical thingies, and you can see these scar lines running down the back of all of his fingers. I'm like, oh, that's right, because he did try multiple surgeries on his hands that were failing. I thought that was a really nice detail. And
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I just pulled up a still, and you're right. Yeah, you can see them.
They have that, awesome. And then you can faintly see Thor's scar just underneath his eye when he got before he, you know, because he lost it.
Right.
They're very, very subtle stuff, but there's you definitely could not see that in 3D. There's no
way. And Proxima Midnight, the Thanos acolyte, the female one, she's got a scar under her, on her face. I don't know if you saw that too.
Oh, was that from their fight?
I don't remember. See, I noticed it after the first fight in the train station.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if it was there during the fight at the train station. She got it there, or if it's. Yeah, I saw her in Wakanda, so she got it at the train station, or maybe she always had it. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But like I said, I saw it in IMAX. So one of the first things I saw. Now, when I saw it, I'm like, am I really seeing this, or am I wanting to see this?
Yeah.
What I thought I saw in the very beginning were escape ships leaving the Asgardian ship, like little pods.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That's what now could it have been debris because they were shooting at it. But to me, I thought they were like kind of escape ships because they do mention later that, well, this is the thing. Did I really see it or did I psych myself into seeing it? Because, you know, obviously since the movie debuted, the directors and the actors and stuff have been on shows and talking about different parts of the movies, and I've been reading up on it. And they did say, the Russo brothers did say, because they were asked where Valkyrie is,
mm-hmm.
and what was it? Spoiler, people. By the way, if you're not aware, we're going to spoil the crap out of this movie. they said that she did survive her. They didn't mention Korg, but they said that she did get on the ship with some Asgardians because Thor does later say he killed half the Asgardians.
Right.
So I thought I saw escape ships. I don't know if I did, but I thought I saw escape ships. But yeah, the IMAX is great because it's a much bigger screen. Just for me, it was like kind of more vibrant. And oh man, there's other things I noticed and I can't remember what it is now. But yeah, I feel like I definitely got a little bit more out of this viewing. I will tell you this, though. It is my fourth time. I woke up very early. I saw a Friday afternoon right after work. I woke up very early Friday, earlier than I usually do. So I was a little tired, and I was nodding off during...
You fell asleep.
Some of the more talky scenes, I was falling asleep. So I was like, I wonder if four is my limit. Or maybe I was just tired. I don't know.
No, Angelica dozed off, too. But, I nudged her towards the end because I knew she wanted to watch that scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, let me ask you: did any jokes pop out at you this time, or did you look at Chris Pratt's facial reaction when he goes, "Is Footloose still the greatest movie ever?" And Spider-Man goes, "It never was."
Mm-hmm. I caught that the first time around. Things I was looking for was more of Thanos' expressions, especially when he was you know, like in the trailer when he's trying to crush Captain America's head. Just right. Trying to look, get a good feel of what Thanos was thinking. Was he thinking like, whoa, like this guy is strong, you know? Because it looks kind of like he's actually has to make an effort, you know? And it had that look of, wow, you know? So I was kind of looking at that. And another thing I just, well, not that I really, really noticed, but the CGI on Thanos is really, really good. You know, I mean, you can kind of see bits and pieces of Josh Brolin inside his face, but it looks legitimately good. You know, it doesn't look like a mask or fake CGI stuff.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with him. There's a scene in the beginning when he picks up Thor by like the by his armor and just kind of drags him along,
right?
And that looks so real. You know, it's just like, and he's a massive, you know, he's bigger than the normal human being, so you know that was some kind of movie magic,
right?
But yeah, that was a great. That was a great a little bit of CGI. There's nothing in that. You know how Black Panther, I complained a little bit about the CGI toward the end?
Yes.
There was nothing here that pulled me out of the movie. You know, there was nothing that was unbelievable to me that I could think of off the top of my head. It all looked great, I thought. They did a really good job.
You know who really blows my mind? And this is probably a character that doesn't get enough praise is Rocket. The guy, Bradley Cooper. I mean, like, when I think of Rocket, I don't even think of him as CGI anymore. I think of him like he's like a real character, like a real life person, you know?
Right. And you don't think of him as a, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Bradley Cooper, I mean, like, it's so funny that that's his voice. Cause I remember, you know, hearing about it for Guardians of the Galaxy. And you don't make that connection because he, you know, well, obviously that's not his voice, but he does such a good job of playing his little sarcastic little role. You just kind of get lost. I mean, Groot is different, though. I mean, Groot, you can... Well, yeah, of course, that's kind of like CGI, whatever. And Rocket is totally also, but he's like a real, like, legitimate character.
Well, you care about him, you know? You care about Groot. I mean, as much as Groot is a CGI character, I mean, you care something. Like, when he dies in Guardians 1, that's, like, the moment. And even this one, I got a little choked up, you know, because I'm like, I literally said out loud the first game, like, not Groot again.
Not again.
Yeah, and you feel Rocket's emotion at losing him for the second time. So yeah, they're doing a great job with that. And we spoke many times about the casting director. You know, they did a phenomenal job casting all of these roles.
But have you heard of Bradley Cooper doing any other voiceover stuff that you know of?
He probably does, because they all do these like cartoons, I think, on like Cartoon Network and stuff like that. I don't know if he does one, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he did one.
Sure. Oh, yeah. He does a fantastic job.
Yeah, he does a really good job. And I'm glad we kind of brought up Guardians, because you know how we talked about how they weaved the Guardian into it seamlessly, and at that point you thought you were watching a Guardians.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that they, that James Gunn, not Peter Gunn, that I said multiple times last week, his name is James Gunn. James Gunn, the director, was brought into, he wrote the Guardian scenes, most of their dialogue, and kind of gave advice to the Russos on the Guardians parts of it. And I believe, I was going to say Peyton Reed, who does Ant-Man, but maybe he's helping with the fourth one. So I think what they're doing is they're bringing in these other guys that are kind of shepherding these other titles, and they're having input into what they're doing, which is really smart. And which really shows the Russo brothers have no ego when it comes to this kind of stuff, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, that once I heard about James Gunn's involvement, I'm going, well, that makes a lot of sense. Because the transition from the Avengers movie into, you know, with the music and that whole, all their dialogue, it makes a lot of sense to me.
It felt so right. You know, it's like we just stepped on to it like a different movie just by the feel, just the music alone and how these guys act also with each other.
Yeah, I listened to the other guy on Fat Man on Batman, Mark Bernardin, I believe. He did Fat Man on Batman is Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin. Kevin Smith did a 1-hour review on his own because they're separate, they're traveling or whatever. And Mark Bernardin did like a 40-minute one on his own. And he goes, what would have been great when Thor comes down with Rocket and Groot, you know, with his new hammer, is if that intro had a Led Zeppelin song attached to it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that would have been great. You know.
Yeah. Would you use the same song?
I don't know a lot of Led Zeppelin, so I probably would, but there might have been one that went better with that. But yeah. Then if you do that, then when Tony Stark's, do you punch up AC/DC when Tony Stark's on the screen? And
sure.
Then it becomes a Baby Driver.
Right.
You know, because of all this music.
Oh, that was a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but with the Guardians, we're kind of going to be all over the place with this today, back and forth. So I really, something that bothered, like, it didn't bother me the first three times I saw it. Mm-hmm. But the fourth time I saw it, like, and this is just my opinion. You tell me what you think.
Sure.
I don't know that Star-Lord ruins it when he punches Thanos, you know? Like, would he do that? Like, is that something you think, do you think, he's so immature, he doesn't understand the stakes.
Like, oh, I see what you mean.
Because at first he said, oh, that's in character. But as I think about it, you know, I'm thinking maybe, I don't know. Like, I'm starting not to like that part a little bit. Like, I understand why they did it, but I'm wondering if it's truly in character for Star-Lord.
Well, let me put your mind at ease, because I thought about this too. When Strange says that, you know, there's only one time that they won out of 14 million, whatever.
Right.
All these things have to take place, you know?
Okay, well, then let's have this discussion. So, does everything proceed because Doctor Strange needed it to happen that way? Like, he needed Tony alive. I think you said that last week.
Yeah.
Because I was questioning why he would trade the Time Stone for Tony's life. And you said maybe he needed Tony alive. And he knew he was going to... Oh, well, there was another... It might have been Mark Bernard. I don't know. I've been watching so much and reading so much stuff on the internet about this. But there was another thing that posited that... remember how the Ancient One, when she was dying, she couldn't see past that certain point?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying Doctor Strange doesn't die because he saw an eventual victory.
Right.
So that means he does survive. So if that's the point, if that's the case, why not share that with Tony Stark before Thanos arrives?
Well, it's maybe he may influence decisions too, you know? You know, so if you're told like, hey, well, you know, we're playing with time and stuff, which is always weird and everything, but maybe there's some things that just have to kind of play out without prior knowledge. Maybe Tony Stark's decision would have been different. You know, I'm sure, you know, when Doctor Strange saw what he saw, he probably just saw the key people that were left, you know. I mean, obviously, at that point, he doesn't know that 50% of the people are going to die already. He doesn't know that yet. What he does know, at least, is Tony Stark is there, and maybe he saw himself not there.
But I think even giving him the Time Stone, I think the future he saw where they win, I think he saw that. I think he saw him getting the six stones. I think he saw him wiping out half the universe. And I think he understood that that needed to happen. Because remember, he said he wouldn't trade Tony or Spider-Man's life for that stone.
Well, not yet, yeah.
Right, so I think he knew he had to give him the Time Stone. Tony has to survive.
Oh,
Thanos
absolutely.
Has to wipe out half the universe.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? absolutely. All that had to be done. He knew that. He knew that perfectly. That's why he did it.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I need no internet to tell me that.
okay, so... But the question is this. Is that in Star-Lord's character? Whether or not it needed to happen, is that in Star-Lord's character to act like that?
Yeah,
I think. And not understand the stakes?
Yeah, easily. Because when he comes back after that fight, he's kind of like, did we lose? You know? From his point of view, you know, again, I said this before in the other podcast. You know, when I think of Star-Lord, I made the comparison of him and kind of like Captain Marvel. You know, he's an adult in a kid's body. Is that right?
Right.
I'm sorry. He's a kid in an adult's body is basically what it is. And so, yeah, when you find out that your girlfriend died... You're not thinking straight. You're going to beat up the boy that hurt his girlfriend.
Okay.
I don't think he understands from his point of view, I don't think he really understands the gravity of the situation and what's really going on. You know, because it is Star-Lord. That is his character. Kind of knowing, but kind of not knowing and stuff. So, yeah, I gave him a pass. And, like, when he did, I was like, all right, what are you doing? You know, why are you hitting him? And he was overwhelmed with emotions.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it wasn't. I don't know. It just seems the stakes are so high. But again, you can depict that whole thing. Like I said last week, why not just kill him? They got him in a trance. Why not just, you know, put the gun to his head and shoot him, and then take the Infinity Gauntlet off his dead body? And then, you know, someone online had said, well, if Strange can make these portals that cut things in half, why not just cut that arm off and take it off the arm? You know,
sure.
You can nitpick all this stuff, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, with him being the first creature to have two Infinity Stones, I mean, with those two alone, he could have done way more damage than he needed to. Like, when he met Drax and... What's the empath again?
Mantis.
He didn't have to use the Reality Stone on him. He could have just killed them. I mean, there's no reason. He actually didn't really kill anyone directly, did he, in this movie?
Gamora.
Okay.
Without a stone.
Without a stone. And he cried over that one, you know, because I think they're trying to make, I'm assuming, right, the Russo brothers are trying to make...
Loki. He killed Loki, too. He killed Heimdall.
Yeah, that's true. All right, forget it. I think they have to... They're trying to make...
Did you see the
Thanos
movie?
A little, you know, like empathize with him a little bit, that he's just not a cold-blooded killer, that he's just not, you know, rampaging throughout the world. I mean, I guess he is.
Well, he's not. He's
not maniacal. Let's put it that way.
Right. There's no. I don't think he's getting any any positive emotions from all these deaths. You know, well, maybe Loki, but I think, yeah, like, well, look, the killing the half of the universe is, and I think they played it out really good, that this is something he believes he has to do. Like, he has to balance the universe, and that's why he's smiling at them, because he's, you know, he's got that job. He, you know, what's that running joke? You had one job. Well, that's his one job, and and he did it, and so he can rest now. He can, because he's not taking the gauntlet. You know, he's resting. He killed that. He's not taking the gauntlet and taking over planets and becoming a ruler. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm sitting on my little farm, and the universe will prosper now because there's plenty of resources for everybody.
Let me ask you something. So with his, I guess, intent in this movie versus the Infinity Gauntlet, which do you prefer? Which do you think has, let's say, more of a drive for his character?
What is a more of a drive for his character?
Sure. Well, Infinity Gauntlet, we're assuming he's doing it for the love and affection of Lady Death.
Right.
In the movie, it's obviously because of the finite resources in the world.
Okay.
So, for you, which do you think is a better drive for his character?
I like the movie drive because it's less selfish.
Okay.
And it's less, as you know, it's less metaphysical, you know, because, you know, even having a personification of death, you know, in the comics, even for me at the time, was stretching it a bit. So I think if they tried to do that in the movie, it would have been a hot mess. So I think this is like, it's more of a, like, yeah, it's not, he's not the Red Skull. He's not Loki. He's not doing it for power. He's doing it because he feels like it's something that needs to be done. It's the best way. It's almost in a weird kind of way. You might even relate this to, like, I don't know what the word is, like hardcore environmentalist like PETA type people, like the hardcore ones where,
right,
like, we'll sacrifice anything in order to save the animals. We'll sacrifice anything in order to save the environment. Just that kind of thing. Like, nothing else stands in the way except this goal to do the right, you know, what they believe to be the right thing. And I think that's more dangerous than a selfish person seeking power. A person that feels like they're doing the right thing for the right reasons. To benefit all, that one person thinks they have the answer,
right,
to save everybody or to benefit everybody or everything. I think that's more dangerous than people that just want power and money and women or men, or, you know what I mean, that kind of thing.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you, sir.
All well, because right, we read the book recently, and I think you can get away with the the Infinity Gauntlet comic book. We said that the first three issues kind of dragged a little bit, and I think that's more of that whole developing his relationship or no relationship with Lady Death, on how he's like kind of like not impressing her. And I think in the movie's drive, it's just a very straightforward thought, you know, that even a young kid can understand. You know what I mean? It wasn't that complex versus integrating another character, because, you know, there are a lot of moving pieces in Infinity Gauntlet that are not in the movie, and I think the movie version is just a nice straightforward way of explaining his drive versus the comic book.
Right. And you know what, the thing about Infinity Gauntlet is the Avengers, the Earth heroes themselves are almost secondary characters in that.
Yeah.
You know, the main characters are Adam Warlock, the main, like, heroes, I guess. Adam Warlock and the Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about that. Will they introduce Adam Warlock to one of these movies? And my defense of that is, like, you shouldn't, because then it stops being an Avenger movie. And the Avengers have to solve this problem, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they pulled the best parts out of the gauntlet. And they were able to, you know, even just kind of make it their own. And I think that it's just like Civil War. They pulled the best parts out of Civil War and made it their own.
Right.
And I think they did a great job with it.
Yeah, they did.
All right. So, talking about Thanos being incredibly powerful, there were two heroes in this movie that I felt really got to show their chops, got to really show off just how powerful they are. we know they're powerful in the comic books, but you know, in past movies, they weren't maybe given the time to show just how powerful they are. And the first one is Doctor Strange, and the second one is Scarlet Witch. Which would you like to talk about first?
Let's do Scarlet Witch.
Okay. So we have Scarlet Witch hold her own against two of Thanos's
I'm sorry.
The acolytes of Thanos, Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive, who are actually married in the comic books. I don't know if they were in the movie.
Proxima Midnight sounds like a cool rock band name.
We are Proxima Midnight. Well, all their names are, I think all their names are Proxima Midnight, Cull Obsidian, yeah. Ebony Maw. Ebony Maw is awesome. Except I just want to keep doing the quote from the Amazing Spider-Man's episode with the Black Knight. It's the Ebony Maw. It's the Ebony Blade.
Yeah, very satanic.
Yeah. So, where was I going? Oh, so she holds her own against them, too. After getting thrown through a store window, she's able to save the Vision. She's able to fly away with the Vision. She throws Proxima through a bus. That whole entire fight scene. And then at the end, when she lifts those two, which for lack of a better word, big wheels, into the sky and then throws them behind her to the point where Okoye is like, why was she up in the building this whole time?
Right.
She's down here fighting. And then she throws Proxima Midnight into the big wheel. And then she actually has the power to destroy the Infinity Stone. She destroys the Mind Stone in Vision.
Well, I thought it was because she was created by the likes of the Infinity, by the Soul Stone.
Well, yeah. Well, the Mind Stone. She was created
the Mind Stone. Yeah.
No, I understand that. I understand that's why she was able to destroy it, but it still took a lot of power.
Right.
And she was also holding off Thanos at one point, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's the thing. I don't think. I think Bendis probably made. Was it Bendis? I don't know for sure. But in the comic books, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they really showed us how powerful Wanda is in the comics when she wiped out almost all the mutants saying.
She's just as bad as Thanos.
Yeah.
Yeah. she committed mutant genocide. What were her exact words? Was it no more mutants?
You're talking about in the comics? Or?
Yeah, in the comic books. Or did she say like 100 mutants dead or something like that? Or maybe it wasn't no mutants.
I think it was no more mutants and it killed like 99%. Or no, it didn't kill anybody. It got rid of their powers. Got rid of like 99% of mutant powers. Mutants with powers.
Huh. Yeah. She crazy.
Yeah, she got real crazy in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the comic panel now. She just whispers, no more mutants.
No more mutants.
Yeah. So it was nice to see that. Well, I mean, it drove her crazy in the comics. But it was nice to see that out of her. And it was funny. I was reading something where Elizabeth Olsen, who plays her, was complaining that she's the only hero with cleavage. she'd like to fix that if she can.
What? That's what she said? That she didn't? Oh, she didn't want that?
Yeah, like she wants a different costume next time.
Oh, Scarlet Witch. No, okay. Yeah, sure. I guess.
I mean, I personally don't think you can ever have too much cleavage, but that's because I don't have any at all. So
hey, let's be honest here. I think Chris Evans showed more chest than she did.
Yeah. All right. You know, I was thinking about that today. Did any male take out their? Did we see any shirtless males in this one?
No.
They always work a shirtless male into these movies.
Yeah, but Thor was busting the double bicep pose.
Yeah, did that remind you of the when he was holding the thing open?
The
that part? When he was holding the thing open so the sun could come through?
Yeah.
That's did that remind you of when in, was it Winter Soldier when he was holding the helicopter down?
Yeah. And then I think, and then Spider-Man has the same thing when he's holding the boat together.
Oh, yeah, but I gotta tell you, man, that's Chris Evans, man. When he popped those muscles, I'm like, holy crap. He's huge, man.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
And I saw this behind-the-scenes things with Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth are talking. And Chris Pratt's pretty built, right?
Yeah.
But I think Hemsworth is taller than him, and Hemsworth gives him, like, a hug. And Chris Pratt goes, he's so huge. Like, he gives him a side hug, you know what I mean? Like, pulls him in closer to him. He's like, he's so big. He's so huge.
That is a good point. When you see Thor on the Guardianship, right? And we know Chris Pratt's a big guy. Then when you see him next to Thor, it's like, those are huge dudes. Even Batista's a big guy also.
He's not a dude. He's a man. He's a man. You're a dude. It's like an angel and a pirate had to be.
Anyway. Yeah, Scarlet Witch, super powerful.
Yeah, Batista's huge too, yeah.
Yeah.
All these guys are built. I just want to get on a Marvel. I just want to get hired for a Marvel movie so they make me work out.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the funny thing. If you look at Parks and Rec, I mean, come on. Chris Pratt was a big old chums.
He was a big dude.
Yeah, he was a big chubby dude.
But I think he lost weight for that other movie.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, he was getting fit then because that came out before Guardians.
Yeah, I think it kind of coincided.
Sure.
And he looked good. Well, it wasn't a... Chris Pratt was in that. What's his name was in that too? Roy. I think Roy was in that too.
Oh, was he?
Roy from The Office, yeah.
No, you're thinking of...
No, I think he was in both. I think Roy was in both.
Oh, is he really?
Okay. I believe so.
Okay, good for you, Roy.
He needs to get a Marvel.
Yeah. A Marvel. Yeah, Jim and Roy. Okay.
All right, so Scarlet Witch, very super powerful. What do you feel about their relationship with the Vision? I mean, in the comic books, they were actually married, and she even created children. That's what drove her crazy. That's the whole thing. But what do you think about the relationship with the Vision?
She has kids with him in the comic books?
Yeah, but they were like...
Are they like...
They're like illusions. Like, she wanted children so badly. Like, she went through a pregnancy and everything, but she wanted children so badly, she kind of manifested them with her powers. Like, in the comic, her powers are probability-based.
Okay.
They're not... Look, it's comic books, dude.
Wait. So, did she have kids or she didn't have kids?
She had kids until writers decided it was stupid for her to have kids with an android. And then they wound up disappearing. That's why she went crazy.
Oh.
Because it was explained to her, like, your kids were never real. And they were like five, I think, when they disappeared.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, she had these kids for like 5 years. She created
them.
With her
magic.
Yeah, and people thought that, like, they were real kids and all that.
Wow, it sounds like an episode from Glee.
Glee? What?
Hysterical pregnancy. You don't remember that episode?
No, I don't. Oh. But these were actual children, though. They were on the planet for 5 years. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, you're taking us all on a tangent. You're Glee.
The relationship, you asked. Well, it was surprising how far they went from Civil War to Infinity War, you know? I mean, I guess Civil War, they kind of alluded that they're... Well, in Civil War, they really made it clear that Vision had something for her, but I never got the impression that it was reciprocated.
Right.
And then this one, they're, you know, obviously more than that and stuff, but, you know. I mean, if you're a fan of the comic books, then I guess it's something that you expect and understand, but if you didn't, then I would say that it would be... Well, I didn't see it. I guess you wouldn't see it coming, really. To go as far as they did in this movie.
Yeah. Because
they're on the run for 2 years, isn't it?
Well, how long? Was Civil War 2 years ago?
I thought they mentioned that in the movie.
Yeah, so. But that's the thing. These movies are kind of like in real time. So you have to figure. It's been 2 years since Civil War. See, this is what's screwing them up with Spider-Man, because Spider-Man Homecoming takes place right after Civil War. So you have to assume this movie is 2 years after Spider-Man, so that would make him a senior, I think, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
And Black Panther also takes place right after Civil War, because remember, they're burying his father? So Black Panther, you have to figure Winter Soldier's been there for 2 years, and that they've been open to the world for 2 years.
Sure, yeah.
Which doesn't explain why they still have their hologram up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the timeline's got a little screwy.
Yeah.
And is Avengers 4 going to take place a year from now? Like, right. Are they going to go a whole year knowing half the universe is dead? Or are they going to pick up right at where Avengers 3 ended?
Mm. I have a feeling they're picking it right up.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too.
But you know, Tony says at one point in the movie, I've been having... Like, Thanos has been on my mind for the last 6 years. That's way off, isn't it?
No, Avengers was in 2012.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But then they're saying that Homecoming 2, or whatever they're calling Spider-Man 2, is taking place minutes after Avengers 4 ends. Yeah.
It's timey-wimey. So you're okay with Scarlet Witch and Vision?
I am.
Okay, good.
I am. Actually, I didn't like Vision in the comic books. I like him in the movies, though.
You know, when Vision dies at the end, you know how he, like, loses color?
Right.
Because in the comic books, when I was first introduced to Vision, he was a kind of, like, all, like, whitish, like a ghost.
Yeah, he was divorced from... Because what happened? He went through some kind of, like, reboot or something where he lost all his emotions and stuff like that. He was like a pure android at that point. Mm-hmm. And he was all white. John Byrne did that to him, I think. I didn't like that take on him.
Okay.
So, like, all right, so Scarlet Witch, uber powerful. But she disappears. Curious.
Who?
Did you notice of the people that didn't die, they were all the original Avengers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so back to Vision. I think that color is probably going to stick to a certain degree.
If they bring him back?
Oh, he's coming back. Okay, let's talk about this. This is what I want to bring in. All those guys that dusted away, they're all coming back. They're all coming back if they were dusted.
I don't know. Well, do you think Winter Soldier's coming back? Loki's dead.
Heimdall's dead.
I think Gamora's gone, dude.
We saw her in the Soul Stone.
I know.
So anyone that was dusted, they're coming back.
Let's see. Winter Soldier?
Coming back. They're all coming back.
You think Vision's coming back?
Hell yeah. He's coming back, but different.
Scarlet Witch is coming back.
They're all. If you saw them dusted, they're coming back.
All the Guardians, except for Gamora and Rocket.
Yep.
Dusted. Spider-Man, obviously. Doctor Strange, obviously.
Yep. All coming back.
All right. Well, then, do they come back in a situation where they trade lives, where Cap and Iron Man? I think we lose Cap and Iron Man.
Sacrifice their soul for the soul?
Or their lives, or something. First of all, Cap has to go out huge. And here's the thing. All right. I guess we're talking about Avengers 4. Is Thanos the bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, who else would you think would be the bad guy?
I don't know. I mean, maybe someone else gets the Infinity Gauntlet. I don't know what to tell
He's
you.
He's wearing it at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but it's still, like, all messed up, right?
The gauntlet's kind of chewed up, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what happened when he snapped his fingers. It got chewed up.
Yeah. But he's got all the stones.
I think Cap dies fighting Thanos, and Iron Man dies, like, he puts the gauntlet on and, like, it's too much for him. And his last act is to maybe he snaps his finger to bring everybody back, and he dies doing that.
Okay.
Makes sense. No?
No, hey, that's your theory. I say none of them die.
You don't think Cap's going to die?
Nope. Nope.
Why? Because he survived this one?
Yeah.
Wrong. I think Wong. Avengers 4,
they're all going to make it. However, Cap's going to pass the shield on to somebody else. Listen, Steve Rogers is still very alive and active in comic books. They're not going to totally...
He's still Captain America.
Yeah, but he ain't going to die.
All right. Yeah. You think they're going to retire? That's how they're going to take care of their contracts? Where he's like, okay, you be Cap now, Bucky.
Could be.
And Tony Stank's just going to hand over the armor to someone else?
Well... He kind of did already. I mean, like, if you look at Civil War, he, you know, for a good 3/4 of the movie, he was just playing Tony Stark. Not until the very end. And he can play that kind of role.
Yeah, what's the point of having him in the movie? He's not going to be Iron Man.
Well, someone's got to bankroll this team. You can have him be like a pseudo Nick Fury kind of character. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if they'll go that route. I think they kill Cap and Iron Man.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want it to happen, but...
We'll see in a year. I think... Okay, one thing I think they're going to throw in there is that little line when... In the comic books, when Captain America phases up to Thanos and what he says, as long as one of us standing or something like that, then you lose or whatever. They're going to have that line in the next movie.
Where's the... Which comic story was it? Because I thought it was Infinity War, but after rereading, I realized it wasn't. Which comic book is it that Cap is charging Thanos and he keeps like making him disintegrate or something, but he keeps popping back up.
Hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Why would he keep popping back up?
Because that whole thing about Thanos not being able to let people, because he even says like something, it's pointed out to him that you set yourself up to fail, and Captain America's charging at him and he like disintegrates him, but then he keeps popping back up and the guy's like, see? He's like, wait, this doesn't make sense.
I don't remember that one.
Maybe it's Infinity War. I'll have to read Infinity War.
Yeah. And then you said your thoughts on Doctor Strange?
That's another thing. Like, is this a few years after his movie? Because he's gotten really good at his spells. Like, he's like uber, uber powerful.
Yeah, it is weird to go from Doctor Strange's movie to Thor Ragnarok. By the time he hits Thor Ragnarok, he's like legitimately like the real deal already. Like, he's comfortable with his magic. He's no longer the Padawan.
Right.
And stuff. And yeah, he just super excels.
And I mean, he's really good at the spells, man. I mean, think of the different spells he did. Of course, he did his transporting spells. He did the Crimson Bands of Sidorak, which are the red things where he's binding Thanos. Mm-hmm. He did that thing where he split into like 1,000 different Doctor Stranges.
Did you call them Crimson Bands of Sidorak?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing the Juggernaut used?
Oh, I wonder. Am I confusing the two things?
No, I don't know. It sounds familiar, that's all.
Because, well, he didn't use the band. He used like a ruby or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the bands are red also, and I thought the ruby was red. I don't know.
We'd have to look that up, see if there's a connection.
Got that from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, but I mean, he's quick with it, but I wonder. They made it seem like his whatchamacallit are dependent on his hand motions, because remember when he bound his hands, he wasn't able to.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, super powerful. Yeah,
super powerful.
Yeah, he got really powerful really quick, and we didn't get to see how he did it.
Yeah, but I liked it. I think he did freaking Cumberbatch. He did such a great job.
You know who I thought that we were going to see in the movie? Or maybe we'll see in Avengers 4? Because when you think about, if you had the full team of Avengers in this movie, you know, Guardians, the whole deal, and you're left with half, you got to think, well, how does half take on Thanos now? And that's what I think you're pulling in, like Hawkeye, Ant-Man, Wasp. And then how cool would that be if you also pulled in, like, Daredevil, Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones, like all these other random superheroes that people didn't hear about and think about, to kind of like even, or you know, make their team a little bit more formidable.
Oh, well, I read something where they were thinking for like a hot second they were going to put them in this one.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been real easy if they just, you know, did a picture of them saving random citizens in New York.
That'd be a great thing to see, like, you know, what's happening back on Earth in regards to the 50% lost. Even like in this movie, you know, while with Nick Fury and whoever, Maria Hill driving around through New York, if you just saw like Daredevil run across the street, you know, swinging and picking people off the road, or Cage like holding up a building and stuff, I thought that would be a nice little cool thing without really having to go into them if you didn't, you know, have to go into their stories.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I wonder how many of them survived it, though.
Hmm. Hopefully Iron Fist does.
I'm just thinking that. Yeah, I think
I'm cool with the other three.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I want them to introduce Bullseye into the Marvel Universe, but that's just me.
Yeah.
That's so funny you said that, because I was literally going to say that. Yeah, I think it'd be okay if Iron Fist dusted away. He comes back looking different.
That'd be great. Where
with better skills
in the next movie, you know, Cap and Iron Man, they got the Soul Stone together. Like, okay, let's bring everybody back. Hey, look, there's Iron Fist. Let's don't tell him. Just let him
stay. Hey guys, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Just saying how sucky it is to be dead, and we're gonna be dead forever.
Yeah, you go hang out over there.
Yeah, we're gonna go take a walk. You might. I mean, this place is huge. You might never see us again. Okay, guys.
Yeah, it's a big place in here. That'd be great. What a great way to to get rid of terrible characters. Leave him in the Soul Stone.
Were you surprised that both Nick Fury and Maria Hill got taken?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting them at all, period. That was a cool thing to see. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You just need the core Avengers, I guess, to take on Avengers 4.
Yeah, I mean, we know Black Widow's getting a solo movie. Mm-hmm. What if they kill everybody but Black Widow? Hawkeye's still got to die, right?
You know, my daughter said, she said in, what was the movie? God, there's so many I'm getting confused now. Where they go into the, like, a very brief backstory of Scarlet Witch. Was it Age of Ultron, I think?
Very brief.
Very brief. My daughter asked about that. Like, she thought that was pretty cool that, it, like, she was brought up to be, like, an assassin agent, whatever. And that would be...
Who Scarlet Witch was?
No, I'm sorry. Black Widow.
Oh, Black Widow. Yeah.
Yeah, to see that kind of life, that, you know, how she does it. Kind of like that movie Salt with Angelina Jolie.
Right, is what we thought, what I thought Red Sparrow was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Spoiler, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that should be good. But what if they wind up killing Hawkeye, Cap? You think Thor's safe? He's got to be safe.
Okay.
He might be too powerful, though.
If I would say, if of the original Avengers, who I think is going to die, then I would say it's going to be Hawkeye.
Yeah, but nobody even cares. You don't even put him in the movies anymore. Like, he's been in what? Avengers 1 and 2, is that it? No, Civil War.
Very brief in Thor, I think. Yeah, very brief in Thor.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. You even count that, though.
Yeah, I don't think he even wants to be in it either.
I mean, he's only been in 3 movies. Spider-Man's already been in 2.
Yeah.
3! Right. Spider-Man's been in 3 movies already! Spider-Man has tied Hawkeye.
And with Hawkeye's big roles.
Since the beginning. Come on.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man. So we're assuming Hawkeye. Are we assuming Hawkeye and Ant-Man survived and are going to be players in 4?
Yeah. And Wasp.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be like the. Let me see. Who are the original Avengers? Iron Man, Ant-Man, Wasp, Hulk, and Thor. Oh, my God. They have to have a scene where it's the 5 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like rushing the battle. That'd be awesome.
So who does Thanos have left on his side? Just him now, right?
Yeah, they killed all the acolytes, right?
Oh, so then he's going to recruit.
No, you know who's got on side? The freaking Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah.
The 6 stones.
Or he can have Hela and Loki and Red Loki Skull.
Did. Oh, yeah, he could bring Loki back to life.
Sure.
Yeah, but he legitimately said no resurrection this time.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, if he had Red Skull with him, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Just to see Cap's face, like, mother effer. That's the first time he curses.
That would be great. Son of a bitch. Mother effer. That'd be great.
That would be a good moment.
Yeah. Alright.
Alright. Any more thoughts on Avengers Infinity War?
Avengers 4 title, what do you think it's going to be?
Avengers 4 Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Avengers 4 half is better than a whole.
What does that even mean?
And when I say whole, it's H-O-L-E.
Oh.
Avengers 4, time for contract Avengers negotiations.
still avenging after all these years.
I like mine better. Half is better than a whole.
This makes sense.
Okay. This is why we're not in charge.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm tired. Man, this movie, 11 days.
That was the worst.
What?
Comedy, whatever, ever.
I'm burnt out. I said, I like my other one. I said, Avengers 4 Electric Boogaloo. You don't like that one?
Avengers 4 Avenge Harder?
That was pretty good, too. This movie's steamrolling. 11 days, and it made $1 billion.
Worldwide. And it hasn't opened in China yet. What the heck?
God, this is humongous.
Does it become the biggest movie ever?
What is it now? Is it Avatar? Is that the...
Yeah, I think it's still Avatar. Avatar.
Why did I say Avatar? Avatar? Yeah, that's probably number one. Probably.
Which, again, if it's
got
I don't get it.
If it's got the legs. I mean, I think it's got going against it is Deadpool and Star Wars coming out, and that's going to take some of the sales away.
Yeah, but it won this weekend. It's probably going to win next week in Mother's Day weekend, because what's a better gift to give your mother than, you know, Deadpool. Take it to Avengers? Yeah, Deadpool's out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from the past Friday. So it won this past weekend. It's going to win next weekend, we're assuming.
Sure.
And again, when it opens in China, it's going to add a boatload of money to it.
Hey, man, my theater was full on Friday. It was full.
Yeah, mine was pretty. It was a full. The IMAX theater wasn't full, but it was for IMAX, it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I might go see it again. You think you'll see it again?
No.
Yeah, I know why.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not the kids behind you, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's curious. I don't know. Let me see. Worldwide Avatar box office.
This movie is so good. I mean, even if I were to just get the last, I don't know what, half hour of the movie, that is so epic. Still in the theater, my like, they cheered at the same exact points as the first time. The first time you see Captain America, and then when Thor, Groot, and Rabbit come down at the end of the movie.
The Rabbit.
Yeah.
You called him Rabbit.
Rabbit.
So cute. Take a guess at how much Avatar made.
Yeah, I have no idea.
This number is ridiculous to me that this stupid movie made this much money.
What is it?
Take a guess.
I don't know, 11 billion?
2.788 billion. 2.8 billion. Billion.
Wow.
Force Awakens only made 2.066 billion. It made 700 million more than Force Awakens.
Wow. I'm telling you, I think those prices are
has to be the 3D
prices. It's the 3D right? prices, yeah. Because that was the reason you would 3D? Watch the movie.
Do they charge more for 3D?
Yeah.
Is a lot more or a little more?
Well, back then, well, I don't know what it was back then, but it's definitely more. It's almost like double the price.
That's insane, man.
Crazy insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was Pocahontas.
Oh, well, see, now when they adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind made $3.4
billion.
Wow. Adjusted in 2014 numbers.
Wow.
Avatar adjusted made $3 billion. Man, Gone with the Wind, huh?
Well, there's only one movie to watch at the time.
Star Wars 2.8, yeah, I know, right? Star Wars 2.8 billion when adjusted. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So does, Infinity War has to make $2 billion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's rewatchable. I think the only thing that kind of holds it back is it is on the long side. You know? Well, Avatar is pretty long, too.
And boring.
Avatar was a gimmicky movie. That's the reason why it made so much.
I can't believe it made that much money. That's insane.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, Avengers only made $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
First Avengers.
Who did that movie? Cameron?
Yeah, what's his name? James Cameron.
James Cameron. That's why recently he went on, oh, these superhero movies are stupid. He's just worried someone's going to break his record is what it is.
Well, he's making all these Avatar sequels, and I'll be real pissed if they make that kind of money again.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's dumb.
Okay. Man, well, they made $1 billion in 7 days. Well, roughly 7 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't opened in China yet. Yeah, I guess it will get to $2 billion.
Yeah, why not?
You figure it'll be in theaters, what's it, March? No, May?
Till Christmas.
You think it'll stay in theaters that long? No, they'll probably... they'll have the Blu-ray out. At least around Christmas time. So
they get that yeah. Christmas. Oh, man. I can't wait till that stupid thing comes out.
I already pre-ordered mine on Target.
Did you? Look at you.
Yeah, because it came with an exclusive Funko Pop.
Oh.
Like you can only get it if you pre-ordered the movie.
So I wow. Got I'm already trying to think of how I'm going to fabricate my own Stormbreaker.
Pretty. It looks pretty easy. One side's a hammer, one side's an axe.
Okay.
The hard part is finding Groot. Finding Groot for the handle.
Yeah.
You should get into metallurgy.
Yeah, I'm gonna make metal work.
You should be you should get your home, whatchamacallit, blacksmith shop.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you watch it like Forged in Fire?
No.
weapons like that. Oh, no. You should. Good. No. They always do Filipino weapons.
Oh, I have a friend that actually does make it. He does meta, his own metal work.
Did you know a barong is a weapon as well as a shirt?
Yeah. Oh, a weapon?
Yeah, it's like a knife or something. Really? It's like a big-ass knife.
Oh, wait, that's Bali Song, dude.
No, they called it a barong on the show.
Yeah.
And it's well, Filipino dude that had it.
Has a lisp.
Oh, damn. It's rude. These people don't even know.
All right. Any thank yous?
I have plenty of thank yous. Are we all done right. with anymore?
Well, for the podcast, yeah.
Okay, terrific. Yeah. Sure, Alan. I want to say we have some thank yous. We had quite a few people favorite us on Anchor, the Anchor app, where mm-hmm. we originated our show. And I want to say gracias to them, which is Hungarian for thank you. I'm going to screw up a lot of these names, so please forgive me. First, Rishis Kalita Kashyap. Thank Bless you. You. Okay. The Casual Movie Goer. Thank you. Nick Fisser. Thank you. Isaiah Reyes. Thank you. The mm-hmm. Podcast with No Name. Thank you. William Brown. Thank you. Carla Oli. Thank you. Oh, how box what? How box Yuzu? And that was an applaud. I went through all that for an applaud. Well, yeah. Thank you for the applaud. Akyuth R, thank you. Amit Boris, thank you. Tanayak, thank you.
And I thought Jack, it said Tone Yoke.
Well, it's a Y, not a Y.
Okay.
Tony, okay, maybe? Tony Yoke? Oh, yeah. Tony Yoke, thank you. And Jack Leversiege.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, you guys. We appreciate your listening and your favoriting and all that other wonderful stuff. And Alan, you have a very special thank you.
Oh, yeah. The podcast has no name. They actually gave in a call and check those guys out. They do these really brief, unlike ours, fan shows. So, yeah, you can check them out. They're quite new, so. Help them build up their listenership.
Yeah, and thank you for the kind words, Podcast with No Name. Keep on listening. We appreciate your feedback.
Yeah.
Speaking of the feedback, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please rate and review, rate and review, rate and review. We've been stuck at 16 reviews for quite a bit now, and we'd really like to get to 17. Actually, we'd love to get into the over 100s, but we'll take them one at a time.
For sure.
So please, if you enjoy us, rate and review us on iTunes. Doesn't take that long.
Yeah, so we are obviously on iTunes. We're on Facebook at Nerdemy Podcast, Instagram at Nerdemy. I'm pretty active on that sucker. Twitter, Nerdemy Podcast. YouTube, search for Nerdemy Podcast. We have a website, brothersinarmchairs.com. John, you want to explain what that is?
Sure. Brothersinarmchairs.com is a umbrella website that covers us, Nerd and Me, our friends Pete and Jay, who also do Enter the Nerd Zone. Jay does something, a show called Defenders of the Realm about role-playing games. And stuff you don't need to know, which we all contribute to. And I feel like I'm missing one. Shush. And Fat Guys in Little Coats. So it's five shows that the four of us do in different combinations, some together, some alone. But yeah, we're all under the Brothers in Armchairs production umbrella, and that's one website where you can see all five shows. Well, not see, but listen to all five shows. Brothersinarmchairs.com.
Can I plug one more show?
Yeah, sure.
My Hidden Gems podcast is coming back.
What?
After a long hiatus. Hidden Gems was my first podcast that I did with my buddy. Oh, this is probably 2 years ago, and we do the underdog movies, and I think we have one coming up soon.
You better not do anything anymore.
We're not doing it. Come on, man. I just said it was an underdog movie.
Yeah, but you've also done Raiders of the Lost Ark, and what was the other one you did?
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
It was a Christmas movie.
Barely.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not going to say.
Because it's a hit, isn't it?
It was the only thing that was motivating us to do it again.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, I guess. All right. So listen out for not so hidden gems with Alan and.
It's really hidden. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So hidden, you're not going to even name the podcast on the show. I mean, the movie on the show.
Let me tell you, he and I, we picked like 3 movies over the last 4 months. We still haven't gotten it done. So we're trying, but we think it's coming back.
It's a good show, though. I mean, thanks. When you actually do pick hidden gems, I think they're good choices. And
thank you.
Yeah, they're good movies. So you guys do a good job on that.
All right, dude, I'm done.
All right, so Alan, thus ends. I can finally put a nail in this coffin. Infinity Month, right?
Yes, sir. Till next time. Could
probably, or should we put it out there if he wants to do another Infinity
Month? No. Oh, yeah, because May, we have a big month of movies we got coming out. So we got
to. Oh, yes, that's what I wanted to introduce. Movie May.
Movie May. There's it. Yeah.
Where every podcast will be on a movie. We're definitely doing 2 weeks of those will be filled with Deadpool and Han Solo, the Solo movie. Mm-hmm. And the other two will be retro movies.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right.
Sounds awesome.
All right. Till next time.
Martha.
That was bizarre.
What?
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.